Welcome to Berkesey Mennonite Church. It's good to be together on this holy night. And welcome to you who are joining us on Zoom. Rebecca and Grace Landis are with us, and Hilda is also with us on Zoom. Welcome to you. Whatever your life experience may be, you are known and loved by God. We're glad you're here, whether it's your first time or your 3,000th time. In the name of the one who is love, welcome. Please join me in the call to worship. God has come among us.
God has come close, close as our own heartbeat.
God has come as a small one, vulnerable, and powerfully inviting our love.
Tonight, in the house or out in the fields.
Orderly and organized or chaotic and unclear.
Alone or crowded in together.
May we be ready to hear God's good news. Tonight, whether we are far from home and needing welcome, overwhelmed and amazed,
listening and honoring and treasuring,
may we be ready to receive God's good news.
To us is born this day a Savior, who is the Anointed One, who reigns.
Let us worship God, who is with us, vulnerably and tenderly with us.
Please turn to number 245 and let's sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Oh. In a weary and worn world, how do we begin again? Where do we start?
Let us begin with hope. Let us begin with peace. Let us begin with joy. Let us begin with love.
Yes, let us begin with love, for surely love knows your name.
Today, in addition to the candles of hope, peace, joy, and love, we light the Christ candle. For surely God is in this place. Surely the Spirit is near. Surely love knows our name.
May we rest in that good news. Unto us a child is born. A light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Glory to God in the highest heaven.
Amen. Amen.
And number 247, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by
Isaiah 9, 1 to 7. But there will be no more gloom, for the land that was in anguish in the past, God humbled the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the future, God will bring glory to this road to the sea, this land beyond the Jordan, this Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness are seeing a brilliant light. Upon those who dwell in a land of deep shadows, light is shining. God, you have made the nation greater. You have brought them abundant joy. They celebrate in your presence as with the harvest celebrations, or as warriors celebrate when dividing spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the weight on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have shattered it as you did at the defeat of Midian. For every boot that tramped in battle, every cloak that was dragged through blood is now used as fuel for the fire. For a child is born to us, an heir is given us, upon whose shoulders dominion will rest. This one shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Strength of God, Eternal Protector, Champion of Peace. This dominion and this peace will grow without end, with David's throne and realm sustained with justice and fairness, now and forever. The zeal of God Omnipotent will accomplish it.
As we prepare to offer some honest confession to the one who is love, would you pray with me? As we sing our glorias this night, O God, tune us in to both the wonder and the gritty truth of your birth. Make us like the family who found a safe place for Mary and Joseph amid the chaos of the day, and like the shepherds who run immediately toward the Christ child in the night. Like the unnamed midwives among Joseph's relatives holding Mary's hands as she cried out in the night. And like those who simply marvel at the miracle of life. On this night of contrasts, light in the darkness, vulnerable strength, witnesses we wouldn't choose, respectable and marginalized, attune us to your world-changing truth in the middle of it all. Amen. Would you join me in the prayer of confession? I'll read the light print and you can read the dark. Living God, you come into this world upending our careful plans and orderly systems, turning up in middle of nowhere places among people who don't matter.
Changing the world when we weren't even looking, much less ready. We confess that we wanted to be the center of your attention, but we weren't ready to hear your message or to carry your life in our bodies. We prefer a bit less drastic faith.
We confess that we want to join in the joy and wonder, but actually the story is always the same. We think we've heard it all by now anyway.
Forgive us for missing out on your presence, because we have prejudged the witnesses who tell your story. Forgive us for allowing your good news to get lost in the hubbub of headlines, the worry and ho-hum routines. As you change the world again tonight, make us ready to join the revolution of your love born in the flesh.
Beloved of God, the angels are singing, "Unto you a child is born. Within you the Christ is born." It is a love that is enfleshed. It is a love that knows your name. It is a love that is on the move for healing in us and throughout the weary world. So hear and believe the good news.
Please turn to number 251. There were angels hovering round.
Just give me a little bit of time, I'll be all right.
All the time you need, man.
The Friendly Beast, that's kind of an interesting title, because I'm inclined to think a beast is more ferocious than friendly. But you know, this is an old carol. They think maybe it's one of the very oldest carols going back to the 12th century, back in merry old England. And apparently the beasts were a little bit different back in those days. Jesus, our brother, kind and good, was humbly born in a manger rude, and friendly beasts around him stood. Jesus, our brother, kind and good. Said the donkey, shaggy and brown, I carried his mother uphill and down. I carried his mother to Bethlehem town. I said the donkey, shaggy and brown. I said the cow, all white and red, I gave him my manger for a bed. I gave him my hay to pillow his head. I said the cow, all white and red. I said the sheep with the curling horn, I gave him my wool for a blanket warm. He wore my coat on Christmas morn. I said the sheep with the curling horn. Well, I said the dove from the rafters high. We cooed him to sleep that he should not cry. We cooed him to sleep, my mate and I. I said the dove from the rafters high. Then every beast by some clear spell, in the stable dark were glad to tell of the gifts they gave Emmanuel, of the gifts they gave Emmanuel. You keep asking the question, and the answer is 58.
I believe that's the number of times Duane has sung this song for us. Thanks, Duane. Would you open your hearts in prayer with me as we prepare to hear the good news? God who comes close, lover of poor and smelly shepherds, we are leaning forward. We are craning our necks, straining to hear a murmur of the angel's song or an echo of a Gloria. We always long for you. And on this night, on this holy Christmas Eve, we long for you to feel as close as our skin. So as we prepare to hear this ancient story once again, we ask that you would awaken something new in us. Awaken in us a fire for your word made flesh. Awaken in us a palpable sense of your nearness. Awaken in us your love, which is bigger than the sky and as close as our breath. We are listening. We give thanks. Amen.
Hear these words from Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus published a decree ordering a census of the whole Roman world. This first census took place where Quirinius was governor of Syria.
All the people were instructed to go back to the towns of their birth to register. So Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to the city of David, Bethlehem, in Judea. Because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, he went to register with Mary, his espoused wife, who was pregnant.
While they were there, the time came for her delivery. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She put him in a simple cloth, wrapped like a receiving blanket, and laid him in a feeding trough for cattle, because there was no room for them in the inn.
There were shepherds in the area living in the fields and keeping night watch by turns over their flock. The angel of God appeared to them, and the glory of God shone around them, and they were very much afraid.
The angel said to them, "You have nothing to fear. I come to proclaim good news to you, news of a great joy to be shared by the whole people. Today in David's city, a Savior, the Messiah, has been born to you. Let this be a sign to you. You'll find an infant wrapped in a simple cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly there were a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom God's favor rests."
When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this event that God has made known to us." They hurried and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Once they saw this, they reported what they had been told concerning the child.
All who heard about it were astonished at the report given by the shepherds. But Mary pondered these things and kept them in her heart.
Imagine you were a 13-year-old girl living in a trailer park north of Nazareth, Pennsylvania. Your ancestors were chiefs in the Haudenosaunee Confederacy of six indigenous nations in what is now known as New York State. It's hard to live in this American empire where your people are often seen as less than human. Women go missing, and the authorities don't work very hard to find them. It's difficult to get decent health care, especially when you're expecting a baby. Oh yeah, you're pregnant, under mysterious circumstances. And while the neighbors are spreading rumors and gossip, your boyfriend, who's 32, is standing by you. And it's a good thing he is, because the U.S. government has just announced that everyone has to register with the Census Bureau by the end of the year, probably so they can be sure to extract even more taxes from the most disenfranchised in the land. Your boyfriend Joe's people are from Philadelphia, so you travel with him about 85 miles south, but you have to take a Greyhound, and then you have to hitchhike part of the way, which is pretty uncomfortable because you're about due in a few days. When you get to Philly, the city is mobbed with people. Everyone's in for the holidays, plus all the folks who are trying to make the registration deadline. You arrive at Joe's cousin's house, and the only guest room they have left is also where they keep the kitty litter, so there's a distinct aroma. This happens to also be the room where their St. Bernard sleeps at night. And Joe's cousin and her kids are planning to keep hens for eggs, so there's also about a half a dozen baby chicks hanging out with y'all. While you're staying with them, your water breaks, and fortunately, another of Joe's cousins who lives down the block is a midwife, and she's excellent. So between her and her cousin, they help you through the 27-hour labor, and you give birth to your firstborn, just as the St. Bernard is about ready to settle in for the night. You take one of the dog's blankets to wrap the baby snugly. And for now, he lies contentedly next to the food bowl. As if this wasn't already a crazy way to spend the holidays, sometime that night, the doorbell rings, and it's some guys working the night shift over at the zoo, making sure the snow wolves can't hunt the lemurs, and they are super excited and asking to see your baby. Now, I'm sorry, wait, how the heck do these guys know there's a newborn in this house? What in the world? They tell everyone breathlessly that out of nowhere they saw a bright light and had a very scary creature who they believed to be an angel, telling them that the savior of the world had just been born in South Philly and was wrapped snugly in a dog blanket. And they had to come check this out. Apparently, there was also joyful singing from some kind of peaceful army of angels that lit up the sky. This would have all seemed a bit much, except that you'd had a scary and sacred encounter, not so unlike this, right before you got pregnant. So you just took in their words and mulled them over in your heart. It was kind of comforting, really, to hear some corroboration of your own life-changing angelic experience. The night zookeepers had brought along a baby goat who was ill, and they didn't want to leave her alone. Maybe it was because she was sick, but she seemed quite gentle toward the baby. So this is some approximation of how chaotic and vulnerable the birth of Jesus must have felt to his parents. Now, often we see a scene where they're just by themselves, the two of them and the baby. That would really not have happened. They wouldn't have been alone. There's no way that Joseph's relatives in Bethlehem would not have found some place for him and Mary to stay among family. And because they were crowded, it was not a comfy spot. And there would have been women around, women who were experienced in assisting with births, to accompany Mary in the birthing process. And she was away from home and had just traveled, probably on foot, quite far, and 9 months pregnant. And this good news, this world-changing news that God's anointed was born to a poor Jewish girl in the shadow of the Roman Empire, was delivered to people doing a job no one else wants, people on the edge of society, low-wage workers who happened to be awake in the middle of the night while Caesar was sleeping. As the empire requires registration so they can impose more taxes and possibly force your sons to fight in their wars, a child is born, and angels fill the night sky with a joyful song of peace. The message comes first to these outsiders. And that does seem to be the way God likes to work, upending our understandings of power and worth. And this message of great joy is for all people. It's for wealthy people too, if they are willing to hear it and open themselves to God and God's ways. Mary knew something of the revolutionary nature of what was happening, that God was turning the world upside down to lift up those who were bowed down under the dominating power of Rome. And part of what we're asked to embrace is that God is continuing to do this over and over again in every age. And as we think of the newborn who could do nothing for himself, we also have to acknowledge that God doesn't burst in on the scene, overpowering the ones who are set on genocidal violence and cruelty. God comes in this small, extremely vulnerable way, drawing us in because our hearts feel tender toward a baby, because our natural instinct to give love and care comes alive when we see a child who needs our help. Most people were asleep when the Savior was born. And what about us? Will we sleep through this divine revolution, a revolution of justice and love? Or are we awake and open to receive the vulnerable love of the Holy One, which tends to come our way through people and circumstances we could not have expected? If we are willing, as Mary was, to partner with God, we also can continue bringing to birth healing ways of living together on this earth. This is the world into which Christ is being born. Our world, right now, in you. Here, in me and in you, if we are willing, if we are offering our yes, Christ is being born. Again, here, tonight, now, and in open hearts, everywhere, throughout the whole wide earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, may there be peace.
Number 248, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Sorry.
Yeah.
Friends, let us now affirm our faith together. Please join me in the printed affirmation of faith. Let's read this together. We believe that on a night like this one, a baby was born and placed in a feeding trough. We believe that baby was God's love in the flesh, who grew up to love the outcast and change the world. We believe that Jesus' love was so big and so personal that the world will never be the same. In the mystery of this holy night, we believe that a star shone, the angels sang, that the shepherds ran, and that love was born anew. Yes, we believe it when the prophets say that unto you, unto us, a Savior is born. Glory to God in the highest heaven.
We were determined to get all the carols in tonight. Number 249, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Angels we have heard.
I invite the ushers to come forward. Because love has come so close, because our divine beloved offers himself to us endlessly, we also offer a part of what we've been given. Tonight's offering will benefit Penridge Fish for folks dealing with food insecurity. Also, if you have brought non-perishable foods or gift cards, I also invite you to bring them up during the offering time. Let us pray. Holy One, as you are faithful to us, may we be faithful to you. Faithful with our time and energy, faithful with our possessions and wealth. Receive these gifts by your grace. Multiply and use them through the power of the Holy Spirit to make real your reign of love, justice, and peace in our world. Amen. Beloved of God, as we move into this time of congregational prayer, I invite you just to take a moment to think about any needs, any hopes, or anything that you're holding as you come tonight, anything that you might want to bring into the presence of divine love. So just take a moment to hold those things in your heart now, and then I'll be praying for us all. Surprising God, tonight is a turning point. The night you enter our world once again, vulnerable and helpless, yet powerful beyond measure. We pray tonight is indeed a turning point when the world turns toward the Prince of Peace, when light shines in the Valley of Shadows, when we make room for all your children. We pray tonight as a turning point for those who struggle to meet government decrees, for those who live under occupation and are not free to travel or move, for those who find there is no room for them in the hearts and minds of the world and its news cycle. May your good news break in where bad news seems to rule the day. We pray tonight for those whose labor is essential and yet their jobs are looked down upon, for those who don't fit our economic system, for those who live on the margins and beyond, out of sight and out of mind. May your good news come to those who normally get none. We pray tonight for those whose families don't match the social media ideal, for those who have to leave their homes, yet are not welcomed when they arrive in a new land, for those who live with so much vulnerability we can barely imagine. May your good news be made real in their lives, beyond all our words. We pray tonight as a turning point for us, O God. Turn our doubting, our despair, and our fears upside down, and fill us instead with openness to you, to your word, urgency to share your good news, and a willingness to be changed into reflections of your love for the world. Make us once again your body, born in this place to bring light and life. We pray in the name of the incarnate one who changed everything, not just for Mary and Joseph, but for us all, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I invite you now into a time of lighting lights, an ancient practice that we participate in, joining with many generations who lit candles in the darkest time of the year. I invite us to come forward and try to form kind of a circle. It'll be more like an oval, and that's good. As you come forward, let's go ahead and come and just, we'll do a ring as much as possible. Be sure to have your paper and your candle with you. And just a reminder, when your candle is lit, hold it up straight and allow your neighbor to put their unlit candle into the flame. Also, please stay and join us for some Christmas cookies afterward.
Split up the families.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm. holy night, we go, praising and glorifying God for all we have heard and seen. For God, even now, is here among us, with us, Emmanuel. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, I wish I could always stand next to you for him singing.